DW.
I've come to Doncaster in the north of England, an area that voted to leave the EU in the 2016 referendum, to visit some of my family who, like many others across the UK, are totally split on the issue of Brexit.
Did you want a tea or a coffee? Yeah.
Just a tea, please.
Mugs use the same tea bag in...
No, I've used two between three mugs. What's wrong with
that? It's got to that now. That's Brexit for you.
Today we're meeting my brother Paul and his wife Jenna, who voted to remain, plus my dad and stepmum at my dad's suburban house on the outskirts of the town.
How did Jonathan vote, anyway?
He voted remain, but he'd vote leave now.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Lots of people...
That's interesting.
After they've treated us like that.
Dad's a firm leaver, as you can probably tell. So too is his wife, Lorraine. Now, Paul, you voted Remain at the time.
I did.
How did you feel the next day?
Very disappointed. It's embarrassing to some degree that we felt the need to reject the EU and its values.
So, Lorraine, you're Paul's mum and my stepmum. Were you surprised at the result in the end?
Yes, I was really, really... excited. I thought, great, for once people have to stand up and listen now for what, you know, how we feel.
Two very different reactions there from mother and son. And as my sister-in-law points out...
Because the vote was so split, the arguments between our family members were just going to continue, because it wasn't, oh, the majority of the country wants this. It's still, you know, 50-50. There's no...
48-50.
As my stepmum Lorraine says, the result was actually 48% voting to remain and 52% voting to leave.
Which some people would say is actually a clear majority, but it was quite close in some respects, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's another thing. When we did vote, there should have been more things put into that. There should have to be like a 60-40, but they didn't do that.
Many of my family agree that politicians on both sides of the debate and the media weren't helpful in the run-up to the referendum, and things haven't got much better since.
I feel the media are making everybody really scared of leaving. Of course, everybody's scared of the unknown, but it's done. You know, I just feel that we made the right decision, but we've not prepared for any of this. I don't understand why we've had the last 3 years... and nobody's prepared for anything. All this were the wanting votes for this, vote for that. Where does it stop?
For the last few months, one of the major arguments in Parliament here in the UK has been the issue of leaving the EU without a deal.
What do you think will happen if we have no deal? You know, is the lights going to go out on March the 30th?
No, I don't think anything. I really don't think that's ever going to happen, because Westminster are not going to allow that to happen.
The deal on the table at the moment is not the deal. It's an interim
transition
agreement. It's,
yeah.
You know, but the way it's portrayed is this is what you're getting on, or you're not getting it.
The impact of the no deal Brexit economically in the country will affect the people that voted for it more. It will affect the poorest in society, and I just feel we've shot ourselves in the foot.
I think one of the biggest frustrations for many of us has been the inability of our politicians to put their differences aside and to compromise. So, if they were in charge, what would Paul and Lorraine do differently?
So, the vote was, you know, 52%, 48%, but for all intents and purposes, it was 50-50. On that very basis alone, there's got to be a compromise. At the end of the day, these are our neighbours, these are our friends. We should be able to negotiate a deal with them. That suits everybody. I think the problem is there's too many people who don't want to come together in a consensus. They just have a particular view.
You're just giving us a politician's answer. Yeah. What's the compromise, Paul?
In fact, to be honest, actually, if I was in charge, we would have never had a 50-50 vote. For a major constitutional change...
But you're still not answering what you would agree
no,
to.
No, but as a Remainer, it's difficult to understand what people who want to leave want. Yes. What exactly do you want? Oh,
exactly.
You want everything for free. You want...
No, I think a compromise would be that, yeah, we should still be able to trade with them and the rest of the world we want... We can't trade with the rest of the world, Paul, because EU don't let us. Everything is there dictating to us.
My family demonstrating there how compromise has become a difficult thing for everyone, and not just the politicians, when it comes to Brexit.
Immigration was seen as one of the big things. Everyone talked about immigration. It was obviously seen that it was something that got people riled and all the rest of it. Do you think Britain's going to have a much tighter grip on immigration now, or what?
Well, I would hope that we'd have a tighter grip, because I feel that, you know, there's been too many people being flooded in, and it's affected everything, the NHS, school, classes. But that doesn't mean to say I'm saying it because of anything about racism.
Rubbish.
It isn't. That is not true, you see. Obviously, you don't want to stop people coming in who have got trades and are going to work.
Thinking about EU nationals, you know, all of the uncertainty and arguments, God knows what kind of impact it might have had on them, what kind of rubbish they might have got from different people. Now, unless they've lived in this country for 5 years, then what's going to happen to them? If you've been here 3 years with your kids going to school, or your kids have been born here...
Have to leave.
No, they didn't say that, because it was a negotiating point that they needed to hold that in reserve. So it's been sorting for those people.
But you can't keep having people coming in and not contributing to anything, which a lot of people have done. We couldn't go to Spain or what...
But there you go. What has our benefit system got to do with the EU?
Absolutely nothing. We set our own benefit system.
But that's where we go back to the immigration.
And immigrants contribute in tax and national insurance more than they take out in benefits.
They do if they work.
Well, culturally as well. They contribute so culturally.
What do you think they've come for? Just to sit on the backside?
There's also a lot of... people who have come here who do not work.
One of the things that amuses me is that my family on my dad's side have Irish links. I'm partly Irish and qualify for an Irish EU passport. My half-siblings also have Maltese heritage.
We're talking here as a group of immigrants, actually. Enhanced ancestrally, we are immigrants.
I think there's a good sidetrack to this in that a Maltese member of our family who ultimately would like to come and live over here, if Brexit goes the wrong way, she won't be able to. I know that would, you know, you'd love for her to come and live over here, but you voted...
Even that would not sway me, just for that one reason, to vote to remain.
Whatever our differences, we've all got to try and get along after Brexit. As well as worries about the prospect of the nations of the UK splitting up, there's also concerns about where Britain might look for future relations.
You know, we talk about Europe, but actually probably one of the biggest influences on us culturally is America. Would you be happy with America having more dominance over the UK?
No, I wouldn't be happy with America. I just think we should be able to freely trade with the rest of the world.
I think culturally we have a very close relationship, rightly, with our cousins across the pond. Would it bring us closer to them? Would they take advantage of that, potentially? And we have different views about things. I don't think that would necessarily be a negative. I think, ultimately, it will diminish our view in the world. I think the UK as part of a strong European Union is better. It's better for us and it's better for the world. I think without that, we lose our voice and we lose our ability to project our values on other parts of the world.
In our history as a family, we've always had disagreements on politics, but we enjoy, you know, we might disagree, but it's fun sometimes having disagreements. But actually, this, in certain places, certain families, friends and whatever, is literally tearing people apart, isn't it? Yes. I mean, can you believe that actually people hold things against people because of their political views?
How's it come to that? Strong opinion about, me and Paul argue on a daily basis, more or less, about what's happened in the news, and he's got his views and I've got mine, and it's whoever shouts the loudest who wins.
The debate is more polarised now than it was before the vote. I think it's so polarised and the differences are so huge, the divide between families right across the country is more now than it has been within that 3 years. The one thing that I hope coming out of this is whatever happens is bridges start to be built across that divide.
Whichever way you voted in the UK, it's becoming increasingly clear that this issue has no easy solutions, and the repercussions are likely to be felt for many years to come. But at least in my family, we're still able to talk and to joke about it. This is Ashley Byrne for DW in Doncaster in Northern England. DW.